Misha is the mother of Idris Deli, and Misha is also the director of the Idris Deli Foundation.
Action and Resource Center. Action and Resource Center.
Action and Resource Center. Misha, can you talk about what happened to your son, and this question of when somebody is in distress, what ought to happen, often happens, please?
Sure. Before I do that, I would like to respect a moment of silence for our comrade Frank Rosenberg, volunteer of October 22nd, against police brutality since the murder of his child by Hayward police, I believe it was in 1999. Solo un momento de silencio para honrar la memoria de nuestro camarada. He died alone in his house in January. Murió solito en su casa. So please let's respect just a moment in honor of our camera friend. Descanse en paz. Rest in peace, Brother Frank, and watch our backs. Something dawned on me before going to the question when I was watching those videos. This is the first time I see it. I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear the idea to see another child die in such a harsh circumstances. But remember how the press said that Officer Mazzaro was seen like this? Did you see this in any of the three videos? That was a portrayal of the gentle giant who was looking in awe, seeing like, oh my God, Jesus Lord, no, no. That's what they wanted us to swear, okay? So my son was killed, Idris Deli was killed. It's very difficult for me to talk about that, I usually don't. June 13, 2001, he had a nervous breakdown that day. And the story is very common, nothing special about it, besides the fact that I miss him very much. It's for driving like black, talking while brown, breathing like poor, barking like black. My son had a nervous breakdown. He woke up and told his girlfriend, you know, I'm going to die tonight. He was 23. And when she told me, I told him, take him to the movies. Let's go and do something different. So she took him to the movies. And they went to see Swordfish and he lit a cigarette, because John Travolta lit a cigarette on the screen, so he watched for his doobies and he liked one. The security guard came and told him, put this off, and he said, you and what army? And he became being very agitated and stood up, turned to all the patrons in the theater, and this 230-pound huge black man told them, if you have families or people who love you, leave, because something really bad is about to happen. And they all scrambled out. His girlfriend came back from the bathroom and said, what's happening, baby? Why are you alone? I've been here. And he said, well, go to your family, girl. I don't want you to get hurt. Three police stations were dispatched. They evacuated the whole theater shotgun. They entered. My son was sitting on the back seat, confused. They shot him 48 times, 9 officers, my only baby. And while his girlfriend was calling me saying, Ma, there are cops everywhere. He say he got a gun. He ain't got no gun. And then I heard the 48 shots to the cell phone. So that's the story. It's a common story. people with mental illness, I don't like that word. People who are differently mentally able, get shot all the time. Besides the fact that if you look at the faces behind me, 97% of the stolen angels are black and brown people. Okay? So what happens if you're epileptic, for example? You start being confused and agitated, and the cop shot you because they say he was foaming out the mouth. Yes, when you have a seizure, you foam. And he made a sudden move towards us, and we feared for our lives. What happens if you're a diabetic like me? You get hypoglycemia, your sugar goes down, you can't see, you're afraid, you're confused, and you start wandering around, not remember where your purse is or what it looks like because there's sugar on it. You get shot because you look erratic, aggressive. What happens if you're autistic and someone trying to hold you and you don't want to be touched? You become combative. A 4-year-old autistic child was shot by the police. What happened if you're a senior in a wheelchair in Memphis and you wear a peace t-shirt and the police tell you, turn it inside out. We don't want to see that peace sign. This is a wall. This is not allowed here. They tased this man 3 times, 72 years old, for wearing a peace t-shirt in wheelchair. What's the deal with that excited delirium, bogus medical diagnosis? They say that when someone who is either mentally ill or under the influence has so much adrenaline and epinephrine going into their brain that they work their brain and their heart into a frenzy that kills them. Excited delirium is called. So back to Gino here. Since we know, and you know, police1.com is a national police website where eminent scholars are revealing to the police department that 25% of the force admits to have been dealing or using steroids during their career. So what I don't understand is that here is this dude here who has tasered 6 times, who is dying of excited delirium. But this crazy, frenzied cop who is reeking steroids, who cannot exercise judgment, how come he's not dying along with the suspect of excited delirium? Good for the goose, not good for the gander. Excited delirium should be applying to both here, the crazy cop on steroids and whoever is beating to their own drum or under the influence of something. So in concluding, I know that I'm probably running out of time, is I concur with Sister Rashida here. I don't know if Rashida and I, who are elders, will see the revolution, we would love to. And we're working toward it. I'm a communist. But in the meantime, what do we do? How do we save our sisters, our fathers, our babies? So what we need to think about is like, okay, look here in Oakland. The bar has been raised at $50 million for that lawsuit. There are 80,000 petitions who are getting ready to go to Sacramento to fire DA Tom Orloff. There's a formidable force of at least 30 organizations that need to consolidate, okay, that make this case probably the strongest ever, since the beating of King in LA. Okay? So of course the police is getting nervous. We do have the power in this case. We do have the responsibility and the obligation to show respect to the family of Oscar Grant by giving it all our dullness, and not just on the computer at 11 at night. We need to show up, and when I say show up, it's not always more like, after police, because they look at you and say, next. I'm a city commissioner in San Francisco. When people outside saying, we say, oh, okay, where's security? I won't leave by the back door now, because I'm 20 minutes late, I gotta go. It doesn't hit it. It doesn't hit it, okay? It's like, look for those avenues to hit their pocket. To hit their pocket. Don't try to hit their soul. Their soul is completely out of hand. That's going to be that business afterwards. That's not my business. That's not my business. Class action suits, petition Congress, and challenge Barack President Obama, who just a week and a half approved $8 billion of stimulus package to go to police nationwide. Towards what? Hiring, retention and recruitment, nothing about training. So it's a good thing we don't have McCain in the Black House, but we sure need to make sure he don't return to the White House.
Okay.
Peace.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Speaking of pockets, we need to raise $1,500 to cover the cost of today. People are going to be passing around a can. I hope people can donate generously, either way, so that we can continue this ongoing work. Our next and final witness, and again, I'm really glad people are, you know, hanging through this. The last witnesses are just as powerful as the first witnesses. All of this is very important, and none more important than the next witness I'm going to call Karen Sari, who is the author of the book, The Stolen Lives book. And if you look at this whole wall, this powerful wall of stolen lives, much of that information was discovered as a result of the work of Karen Sari and the Stolen Lives Project. Karen, welcome.